back for the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I realize it's kind of mundane to discuss weather at the very beginning of a show unless there's some sort of weather emergency, which there is not. But I will share with you that... I'm not quite sure that Josh has experienced the same thing, but I think it's probably pretty close that he is. But down here,
mm-hmm.
where I live.
That's Florida where you live, Mike.
Southwest Florida. You know, down near the tip. I will tell you that it is very similar to being in a like big pit of mud, but it's air, and you just have to slog through it. It is humidity and moisture now at the end of really getting into the late summer, early fall. That you look out your window and it hasn't rained, but there is condensation and sweat on your windows. Yeah. And then when you go outside to do anything, your entire shirt is completely soaked. It's not like you have sweat marks or anything. It is the most unpleasant time of the year. And then usually, right around this time of year, we start looking out into the Atlantic because we are aware of the fact that there may indeed be, another killer storm out there. But so far, you know, next 7-8 days, we're good to go. We're wonderful. So that's
what it.
Thank
you,
dear.
Would it console you at all if I told you this? We are having the coolest. We had the coolest August in the history of weather in Washington, D.C.
Congratulations.
And, you know, cold snap ran through today. 46 when I woke up in Leesburg.
I'm jealous.
It's fantastic.
I'm ready.
It's why
we have determined that we will be traveling north for the Christmas holiday. We will be going Maine. To Maine. We're going to Maine.
Oh,
so I hope there's snow and cold and parkas and everything, except not at airports, because I've done that too, and I don't like that at all.
I might be showing ignorance here. Has Michael seen snow? Because he's been down in Florida for most of his life.
He has seen snow out west.
Out west, they say.
When we went into the mountains, but it was more like a frozen patch.
Not like a play-in snow, right?
No, not like snow falling or anything like that. And there's no guarantee that... What was that sound?
My straw squeaked.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I didn't have a close.
It sounded nice like whistle. Your whistle.
No, that would sound like this.
It's like... That's what it sounded like when you did that.
It sounded exactly like that.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get that out of the way. That it's... I'm ready. I'm ready just for a slight change.
Is this the year you finally put air conditioning in your home? Central air conditioning?
I'm not going to break down. I don't think we need it.
I know you have a wall unit in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we call it the old RFK. So it's wonderful, but that's not what... I'm probably delaying talking about what I need to talk about, and which my listeners and your listeners are probably tired of hearing, but here we go again.
All right.
Hope springs eternal to the many, many listeners in the Washington, D.C. area that support this show. Congratulations on your Commanders with their solid, easy victory, even though they didn't play all that well. You played a real flippin' patsy. You played a real patsy. I think you might have played the worst team in football. So congratulations
wow.
on that.
Lucky
by the way,
us.
And a team that, what's funny, this is a funny story, I'll tell you. A team that, this is great, you'll like this. A team that really gets a lot of attention, like more attention than almost any team in the entire NFL. And what they do is they go out and they do really well because they suck. They're always like way up in the draft. So they get to draft a really
right.
great player. And then they draft this great player. And because of one reason or another, that great player really doesn't do dick when it comes to, playing in the game. And so it's a major disappointment. And then because they are a team that gets a lot of attention and has money and gets to go out and pay for things.
The fact that they are in the number one television market in the world, is that a blessing or a curse?
Don't know. But anyway, so they go out there and then they sign a guy that's a really well-known guy. And then they draft another quarterback. And it's really cool because you got all this excitement. And then they come out and they it's like getting a nice big brand new layer cake that is just fresh from the bakery, and it's got beautiful frosting on the outside, and it's absolutely pristine. It doesn't have a mark. Nobody's like tested the frosting or anything, and it's sitting on the table. And the New York Giants get this, and they put it out for you. They put it out for you about when is the draft? When's the NFL draft? April? Is that where it is?
March. Sounds right. Yeah.
And then they add some players, and so by the time the season starts, you got this brand new, beautiful cake that's sitting right out there. And then the coach, a guy by the name, if you don't know, Brian Dip S or Dable, comes out and squats over the cake and then takes a big old steamer right on top of the cake, just like Sparky Lyle
did. I was going to ask who the baseball player
back
is.
Back in the day.
Did. Yes. A beautiful coil.
And for the New York Giants fan base, it's really, really upsetting. And for every other team they play, a la your Washington Commanders, it's just a joyous experience because they could do almost anything wrong. This is the funny thing, Rob. They could do almost anything wrong, and they could win the game.
Anything.
Because the team they're playing sucks to such a level. Even though they're paying millions of dollars to these players.
Right.
Millions. Millions. Not hundreds of thousands. Not tens of millions. Tens of millions in some cases.
Can you
and
pull
then they
anything
come out and suck?
Anything positive from the performance?
Oh, well, yeah. Nope.
No, not a thing. Wow. Wow. I guess I wasn't looking at it with the
they
same
scored
eye as you.
6 points.
Yeah.
They scored 6 points. This is 3 years in a row they have not scored a touchdown on their opening day. Three years. It's a new NFL record.
Maybe it's because it was an away game. They got all caught up in the excitement, and that's a disadvantage.
Now, the advantage I had,
yeah,
and this is interesting because I'm so foolish, we received a social offer on the weekend to go to our friend's house who has a kid Michael's age, and they have one year old older brother. Great kids. My buddies Ryder and Taylor. Great. I mean,
that sounds like
kids.
A great trio. You know, three
our friends
kids about
Kyle
that
and Christine.
Age, yeah.
Wonderful people. Fun. Younger than us. Delightful.
Did you know that? Did you put two and two together about time with the Giants and
yes.
The, social
yes,
at the same
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. The offer was last week. It was a late offer.
Well in
come
advance. In.
You want to come over and watch some football. But the offer is to come over and watch some football. We go to that dive bar that I took you to where we get wings. And we get them fried and put separately. And we get the sauce on the side so that we can mix them all up a la
smart.
Jimmy in the bowl.
So
and
smart.
Take them to their house. And they were still great. They were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And The thing that prevented me from having a truly, because otherwise I am by myself with my son and my wife in my house having what amounts to just an absolute crap day. Mm-hmm. Because not only do you not win, you don't have a chance to win. There's not any real movement towards winning. Although it was not a complete blowout, but they teased.
Sure.
But it's just, I mean, to be an NFL fan of a team that there are not many that perennially really suck. There are a couple. Cleveland Browns fall into that category.
Sure.
New York Giants, where your team, you just know in one game, you know, there's not even a chance.
You're
that's
in good
how
company,
bad they Mike. Suck.
Elvis Presley loved the Browns so much that he would mail them football plays. Hopefully they would use them. But, you know, always disappointment. And
the only thing that rivals what I went through would be a late night game where the team you love gives up the ghost after scoring 150 points. Yeah. A la,
you know what it is?
Josh had probably a slightly worse football Sunday than I did.
I'm sure I'm a little tired this morning.
Yeah, because that's got to totally. So I haven't seen the highlights.
You know what it is? It's the team that beat us. It's the Bills. They beat us in the playoffs. It sets up this season as we can't win the big game.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's already decided now week one.
Yep.
Didn't they score the Bills like like 16 points in the last 4 minutes of the game?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I got that statistic
you
right.
You knew.
Yes.
You knew. Yeah. Here, can I throw a fact in since we're doing heavy football?
Yeah, please.
Because it's the first game of the year. We can do that. Here's a funny story. Let me tell you a story. So Josh Allen, who is the quarterback that came back and beat the Ravens last night.
Right.
Amazing quarterback. Amazing athlete. And amazing
beloved.
Human being.
And a dummy on the mic.
Yeah, not offering a lot.
But it doesn't matter. Does not matter. Here's the thing. He was coached. This is a great story.
Uh-huh.
He was coached by Brian Daboll when they were in Buffalo. And they said, this is you'll love this.
Love this.
They hired Brian Daboll to be the coach of the New York Giants because they thought, this is great. This is a great joke. They thought that Brian Daboll was in some way, this is hysterical, responsible for the quarterback that Josh Allen is. Brian Daboll, the head coach now of the New York Giants, had bupkis to do with Josh Allen. Brian Daboll wasn't the guy. Josh Allen was the guy. Yeah. Josh Allen was the guy. Yeah. Brian Daboll didn't have anything. You could have had a trained orangutan who would be just talking to Josh and he'd go out and do his natural thing. Brian Daboll didn't have anything to do with it. They never should have hired him.
That is funny.
People are saying now about Belichick.
Yeah.
That it was thanks to Brady.
It is. It is. By the way, the myth has been exposed. These legends, these guys that get all this credit, really, let's think about it, okay? Let's think about them when they're on TV. Jimmy Johnson, Bill Cowher. You listen to these guys. Are they really geniuses? You ever hear Belichick? Is he really a genius? No, he's not. Is he a prick? Yeah, he's a prick. But is he? No, it's Brady. It's Josh Allen. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's the talent of the quarterback.
Right.
It's the talent.
It is. It is. And that doesn't change the fact.
Sorry, I'm a little worked up today. Oh, God,
it doesn't change the fact that Tony Dungy is looking more and more like Nosferatu, which is unfortunate. I'm going to pick the games now.
Welcome. But the good news is the Washington Commanders have a quarterback with level of talent. Mm-hmm. So God knows what's coming. And I think they're going to get better and better.
Yeah. It was fun to watch the game.
TMOS Monday Morning Sports Wraps. Okay. All right. So what? You know, this is the time we like to. I don't do it when I have to. By the way, that would be. See, this is it. After I can come in on the Mondays after games if I've got a particularly urgent emotional appeal where I want to vent. But to be forced to talk about it for the other multiple weeks of the year would be absolute hell. That's why I'm glad I didn't do the format.
Or to take phone calls so you get
that'd
random
be fun.
People's opinion.
Yeah, I like
you know,
that.
The losing.
It would be great. The thing is, I watch the only time, and I think, Josh, you can relate to this based on your TikTok success, that the only time, and I mean the only time, I go and watch bloggers, podcasts, repeats of radio programs are when my team sucks. I have no interest when they're doing well.
That is,
I don't.
I've noticed common. This for years, Mike, and it's one of the things about you I think that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. You savor.
Well, I think
you
I'm
love
like, no,
the victory.
I think no. I'm like most sports fans.
No, and I don't think it's most sports fans. It's the same reason the news gets more ratings if your team's not winning.
Mm-hmm.
When your team's struggling, The ratings are better. It's the same with sports talk radio. And
right.
My
when
do
the ratings
a lot better when I complain.
When do ratings go up for a television station? When there's a terrible storm in the air.
Exactly.
Office.
Right.
That's
exactly.
When their ratings. So it's negative. That's it feeds off negative energy. I've always thought that the direction I have gotten on this show, and I did for multiple years, was keep it light. And I think when we're really funny and we're having a really good time, I think that really does draw people in. Don't get me wrong. I believe that. I believe it. It's not a bitch fest. I know that, but I do get the people that, say, stop bitching. And I get that. I get that because there are times when it's just not appreciated. And this time I hope people can be entertained by my pain.
This theory of being funny, when do we start that?
Not yet.
Okay, let me know, because then we'll
not
start.
Yet.
I mean, it's been a few years.
What I was going to say was we get invited to our friend's house.
Right.
And they have a beautiful home with a beautiful location on, you know, a beautiful part of this area. Just absolutely gorgeous. And the hubby, Kyle, is just so thoughtful. He knows I'm obsessed because he's a Packer fan and he is obsessed. And
oh, so it's he just, gets it, yeah.
But he's not obsessed like I am. Not even close. And I'm not after we get there at about 12:30. We eat the wings right away, so there's no, no lingering over a meal to be. I can get right to it and watch my team begin to suck. And because I'm at someone else's house, I would say that I was on relatively good behavior.
You kept it in check. Yeah,
I totally kept it in check.
Now, yeah. Because this goes back to my drinking days, mm-hmm. I always think it's appropriate to have a beer when you're watching, even the early game, even the 1 o'clock game. Were the alcohol consumed at the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Not beer.
Good.
Margaritas. They make a really good margarita with a really good mix.
They don't have the machine though.
No, they didn't. They weren't frozen. But they were fine. Some of them were really fine.
I like a really fine margarita.
And the wings were good, and the snacks were good. And Michael did not watch a down of the game. Because they live on the water, and Michael is, when it comes to football and fishing takes priority.
So better way to spend your day.
So he was blissful. And then, because these kids, Michael has done many overnights over there, their son has done many at our house. And the great news was, this is a sweet story. I'll tell you a sweet story that happened. At the end of the day, we're getting ready to head out. This is somewhere about 6 o'clock or so.
Oh, you were there a while.
We're there for a good long time. Yeah, we're there for a good long time. And then right as we're getting ready to leave, Michael and Taylor come over to the car and they're gathering all their fishing. It is wrangling kittens like you would not believe, because there are fishing poles and there are trunks and there are,
and of course, thousands of fish that they caught.
They had fish. They had where they are. I mean, I'm talking
about. But
you
didn't bring any home with you.
I am talking about a home where you walk out on their back patio. And you look over the canal and you see dolphins coming by. It is that gorgeous.
And then they charge the dolphins rent?
No, they do not. But I will tell you, I'd love to live there. I'd love to live there. And it's why I play the Powerball. But anyway, it's...
I envision a house on a cliff from what you're talking about.
It was just beautiful.
Okay.
And then the kids get this look and they're negotiating on a Sunday night before school a sleepover. And there are friends that I like of Michael's, and then there are friends that I really like. This is a kid that I happen to really like. The angle, I have no idea, but I mean, they've been nice to us, and they're super nice people. And I don't, this kid makes me laugh more than he does anything. And I.
This is the one that's the same age as Michael, not a year older?
Yeah, and okay. I say yes. And then their other kid is a year older. He's Ryder, and he is a great kid, too. I mean, a kid I just totally different personalities, and I'm just crazy about both these kids. So we're getting ready, and they're gathering their stuff, and we've said yes. And so they're going to go. They go to the same school, so they're going to go to school together. And it's no sweat and no problem at all, and we thought it would be fine. They entertained us for 8 hours in their house. And as we're just getting ready to leave, Carla says, you know what, Ryder looked kind of sad. And I said, what do you mean? And he looked like he wanted to come. Well, I said, go upstairs, ask him if he wants to come. Mm-hmm. And Carla said the reaction when she walked in and said, do you want to come over too? It was such that it was the right call. And so last night.
Did he light up with happiness when she asked him or when she came into his bedroom?
Shut up. God.
Well, he is a year older. He is.
Please.
Okay.
And so he lit up, and I had not one, not two, three crumb crunchers.
Too many.
And they were out of the house. They were efficient, and it was trouble-free. Absolute trouble-free.
Did they fall asleep at a reasonable hour, or did they keep
they
each other
moved,
up?
They started in Michael's room. They moved to the couch out in the living room. They were all around. I don't know what the configuration was. We set the alarm for 7 a.m. this morning. Mm-hmm. I got up at 5:30. I, what we call herkle-derkled, went back to bed. I fell asleep again, got up when the alarm went off, and I walk out, and we are greeted by three kids on the sectional with the little things out, the little leg rests out, all with their computers doing their last-minute homework. That's what we saw when we woke up.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That was the positive. That was an unbelievable positive.
But when you say there's a positive, is there also anything that counteracts it as a negative?
A little, to be honest with you, when you get three kids that size and that age in the house, you know, and I went into Michael's room and I'm like, brr. But that was counteracted because Carla, you know, Carla, the health guru that she is.
Yes.
When she works out, she has some sort of powdered chocolate flavored protein, amino acid, whatever the hell she wants to put in her body. And I am doing a very limited number of dishes because we had eaten. So it wasn't three boys throwing dishes all over the place. Carla, in the middle of me hand washing most of these dishes, putting them in the dishwasher.
Right.
Brings over they're like plastic cups and they have a little widget.
Ball?
They have a little like widget that you shake up. You know what I mean?
It's technically called a dasher, the thing that's in the thing.
They have a dasher in there. And I found out after the fact, the residue of this chocolate protein had been in her car. I'd like to point out it is 97 degrees every day.
Yeah.
It had been in her car for 3 days.
You got to throw that cup away.
You got to get rid of it,
man. In the house.
Yeah. It is so disgusting. It was the smell of a cadaver. Well, we put it in the dishwasher, Josh. Sorry. We put it in the dishwasher to give it a deep clean. And I said, let's throw that away. I said that, Josh.
Good.
I said that.
Good. Did your dishwasher survive or does the entire dishwasher now smell like that?
Yeah. I'll have to double check. I'll let you know tomorrow. But boy, oh boy. It was, you know, I mean, it's all in all. Even with another, you know, the entire football season was ruined in one game.
But I wouldn't think after the situation, the tableau you just laid out, that Carla's cup would be the biggest problem. That's a win.
Yeah, it was fine, and they're great kids, and that part made the pain of my football watching fine. Your pain had to be, so you stayed up for the whole thing? What time did the game end, Josh?
Around 11:30.
Ugh. Man, the NFL's back.
And
get ready.
They did that thing where it looks like, all right, we just got to score here, and then I can shut the TV off, go to bed. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to win. And then that's when everything started to implode.
That's the worst.
It was right when I was about to say.
You're so lucky, Rob, that you don't give a damn about sports.
You know what? I never lost sleep over it. It was fun yesterday with the game, with the win for the Commanders. Robert loves it so bad. So for me, it's almost more about
my dog barking in the background here?
Yeah.
Shut up!
Did he find his way to Carla's cup?
God damn. What do you lose sleep over, out of curiosity?
My mind will race at night, but never about sports.
Okay.
I've got to, you know what?
Stuck in your head, you can't place?
No, I can't. No, it's never that.
When I lose sleep over sports, it's because I've been ramped up. And my adrenaline's flowing, but then I eventually get over that. But, you know, as far as something that really, you know, gets you keyed up, you know.
I think about the future with my kids. I think about the fact that I don't have
whether you're going to be alive or not?
That, and yeah, how they're going to deal with it and all that stuff. My mind races in such a way that I think I need to be off Prozac. It's not helping.
So your anti-depression medication isn't working?
I'm not depressed, but it doesn't help me at night. Does that make any sense?
There are a lot of side effects.
But when I lay down and I can be tired. I went to bed early last night, like 9:15, because I was tired. Mm-hmm. And I laid down, I thought this is going to be great. And I bet I was up till 10 with just thoughts going in and out of my mind. It's weird. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
And then how long do you wind? Do you have to wind down, Josh, after you watch that? Do you get keyed up? And so it's
a little
like,
bit.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was already winding down before it ended. So I didn't. I just watched it implode. It wasn't too bad.
Will you get keyed up after church?
No, I love naps after church.
Okay, that's good. Great. It's good.
Have you ever been keyed up after church?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If there's a really great praise band?
No.
Okay. After my father's funeral and Father McDonald was wearing galoshes.
Oh, you were keyed up.
I was keyed up.
Yeah.
A-hole!
But that was anger, not excitement. I'm thinking of the excitement of worship.
Well, excitement or anger will keep me up after a sporting event.
Yeah.
That's the way that that normally goes. Then right before we went to, I didn't mention this part, and I won't share the pictures with you, but right before we went to the our friend's house, the two terriers. And I like calling them terriers, too, because I like to go, terriers, because they're and so Carla doesn't necessarily like it when I have them lick the plate after a meal
is
has
that
been
code?
Consumed. No, it's not code.
I'm just checking. I want to make sure that we're abundantly
when I have
clear.
Them lick the peanut butter off the plate. No. Oh.
It's fun to apply the peanut butter to the plate.
Carla gets me two eggs and a piece of toast, and I devour it. I don't eat regular breakfast as much as like a regular protein bar in the morning.
Yeah.
So this is a little treat for me on Sunday morning. And Winslow loves to come over there, and Carla hates it, where he comes over and he hops on my lap, and he starts licking
the
leftover.
Of the two?
Yeah. He's used to it, but the other one's just as aggressive.
Okay.
And so they both get up on my lap, and I've got the little small plate. We used a small plate in the middle, and what happens is there is a dog fight. I mean, a real legitimate dog fight in my lap.
That's
and
no
they,
good.
And they shred my top of my foot and my ankle and my upper thigh with their ridiculous little claws, and so I immediately went to the kids' back team to spray it in there.
Yeah, you didn't like wash? Did you wash it properly? Was soap
Mike likes to be the plate, Chris? That's right. I like to be the plate.
Well, it is odd that you keep it on your lap while they come and eat off the plate.
Yeah,
I think most people put it on the floor or something.
Yeah, well, sometimes I've done it all. I've done it. I put it on the floor. I've held it out. And done that. This time they both came up, and I had one here and one here. You know, our new little sectional that we got.
Yes.
The latest John Cena collection from the room place or whatever it's called. It's a big wide chair,
sure.
So it can accommodate both dogs. And of course, the rule about staying off the furniture lasted maybe a week and a half.
It never does. It never lasts.
And so they went at it. I mean, they go at it. It's tough to know.
How do they know when they're allowed to come after your plate versus just you're eating?
If they make an attempt.
When he takes his shirt off. Time to play, boys.
Joseph wrote sectional, S-E-X-T-I-O-N-L.
Yeah. Is one dog.
Comments, you're doing really well. You're helping me on Monday. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Of the two terriers, is one more dominant than the other?
It's hard to determine because one is older and one's the eldest there. But I would have to say the little guy is a little more tough. He's got a little more pit bull in him, I think.
We've got our idiot dog back, Sebastian, that we have essentially share with another family. And he's big, 110 pounds, big dog, big head, stupid. And
who
Linus,
owns that dog?
The lady that Carrie nannies for.
Does she ever take care of her dog?
No, she doesn't. But we have him
Why
now
does she
because
have a dog.
this is funny. One of her kids was at school. This lady, and they were talking. It was the first day of school, and the one of the daughters, I forget which one, said, "My house has 12 pets," and the teacher said, "No, you can't be right. You can't be serious." And she went through and named them all. And yes, they have 12 pets.
Do you know the pets? Do you have a cursory knowledge of the pets?
There was two cats. Then there was five more cats six because of they gave birth. That's why we have Sebastian.
Hold on. So they start two dogs?
Yep.
And two cats?
Right. Well, then five more cats.
Five cats?
Well, they just gave birth. So that's actually seven cats.
Is that why she said the 12?
Yeah, well, I forget how, and then they have birds, like three or four birds.
Wow. And the one dog is too much?
That's what I said. I just say, give me the dog. Let me have this dog is 4 years old and untrained.
And you love the dog?
Oh, he's the greatest. But he's been wasted as a puppy. He won't shake hands. He won't sit half the time. He's oblivious to commands. I don't
think
he knows his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's very sweet. But here's the deal. You see him, and he's got that huge head with big teeth, and he smiles a lot, so you see the teeth. But
if you reach out to him, will he come to you?
Yes. Yeah. Because, okay. You're going to scratch his ears. He loves that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if, like yesterday, Carrie was making some chicken salad. She got a chicken at Costco. And, when she's fooling with the chicken, the dogs are very interested. But Linus will stand right at Carrie's feet when it's going on, and Sebastian will stay about 10 feet away because he's scared to get close to Linus. And it's so funny because Linus is literally half his size.
And the dominant dog.
Yeah, but the dominant dog. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter with a dog. Yeah. I mean, you've seen the videos, right?
Yeah.
Where you'll get a you know, a Shih Tzu that'll chase a bear out of a backyard.
Yes,
I mean, it's exactly. It doesn't matter. The size doesn't matter on that whatsoever. But, you know, it just seems like you are pretty much the full-time owner of that dog, even though you're not.
I would say we've had him for the past 2 years, probably half or a little more of the time. Yeah.
Have they asked you to watch the dog, or do you keep just taking the dog?
The first time it was offered to me, I've known the dog since he was a puppy. He's a sweet puppy. But it was first offered to come and stay with us right after Mark Riddell died. And she said, do you think it would cheer Rob up to have another dog around the house? Carrie said, yeah. And so she brought him, and he was with us for like 8 months. And yeah, we bonded.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
That's a very nice thing. But at the same time,
it was shallow.
I get the impression that this person just doesn't want to be bothered by her dog.
Well, she also has five kids. This house is a nut house.
Same hubby, one bedroom.
Two adopted, but then they adopted two kids because they didn't think they could, but then they proved they could by having three more.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's,
what are the age? Do you happen to know the age range?
I think high school to first grade.
Wow.
The house is a zoo in the best possible way.
In the best, but boy, oh boy.
But I mean, Carrie's
better people
over there,
than me. I don't think I could ever handle that.
Well, I mean, I think Carrie's the hero in this relationship. I do.
At what point does she say, you know, I think a kid would cheer Rob up?
Don't want another kid.
Send the first grader over. Do you have that? I mean, I am finding, having a second child late in life has been one of the great joys of my life. Absolutely one. So you don't like the idea
I'm done with that. I have neither the energy nor the time to do another child.
This is kind of the Halloween attitude. He wants to be a senior citizen. He wants to be, well down here. I don't want to be around kids.
Our good friends, Doug and Haiti, just became grandparents for the first time. And so if I need to see a baby, if I need to hold a baby, I'll go to their house and I'll visit with them. And,
right.
You know, and
is there something you want to share with us? Is Julia pregnant?
That's not even funny on any level. You take that back.
Hasn't she been with the same guy for a while now?
Stop it.
Okay, I'm just checking. But they've been together what? How long?
He's a vegan. It's okay.
Let me see. They've been together way too long. That's how long.
Oh, that's right. Oh, see, that's the sore subject here. He wouldn't mind being a grandpop. He just doesn't, you know, maybe not this relationship.
What about the courtesy of marriage before giving birth? That's
tell me about
nice.
It.
Well, tell me about it.
Hi, Elizabeth.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they've got their new apartment. Glad they've been together almost a decade.
Yeah. But I would
think.
How's
that guest bedroom?
It's more of a den.
I'm not necessarily burdened by. And my daughters are, you know, got one who's already 30 and another one that's, knocking on 30's door. I am not burdened with urgency because I've got a 12-year-old here. So I get all my, it's great. And because I wasn't around the first time, part-time dad thing.
If this lands on Julia's ears, I want her to hear this, and it won't, but I want her to know that I was born out of wedlock, and that's not a great thing. So don't do that. Be ready to get married before you have a child. That's
okay. Since you're doing it, you mind if I pile on that and copy a little bit here?
Go ahead.
This one goes out to my middle child's beau, Connor. Hey, Connor, did you have a good time going to Louie's wedding? That's a wedding. That's when two people that have lived together for a number of years
or dated. They don't have to live together.
Get married.
Right.
And to the best of my knowledge, Connor, I'm pretty sure they were together a lot shorter period of time than you and Elizabeth were.
You know, Connor, there's something about a wedding that you may not understand because a lot of people don't address it. It's when you go onto the altar of God and before God you promise to stay together with this person for rest of your life.
Sure.
And if you think you're brave going rock climbing or whatever your kids are doing, that's nothing compared to making the promise to God.
Second thing for that, and this has nothing to do with anything. Connor, drop me a line and let me know how that handicap's going, because you were playing lights out. He was on his high school golf team.
Oh, so I thought you meant you wanted his parking pass.
No, he's moved up to the, top of the chain. And Michael's going to be right behind him, but Connor right now, like a four or five.
Well, so, that explains everything. You
know,
Yeah.
You got to get your golf time.
He's focused on the golf.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was just because Elizabeth loves golfers.
No. Elizabeth loves him, and he loves her.
We love Elizabeth. She's great.
Yeah.
But, marriage, and you don't get to golf as much.
No, especially when you have kids. Forget about it.
What if you marry a woman who golfs? What about Mr. Julie Inkster? I bet he gets to golf a lot.
Julie Inkster, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for going to the 1970s LPGA.
She's still a thing?
Yeah, Rob, she's 80 and she's still playing on the tour. Absolutely.
Didn't she take a room at Nancy Lopez's house so they can
Josh, if you get
together?
A chance during this little commercial I'm going to read here, please look up Julie Inkster. Let's see if we can get an age. I'm going to guess my age. Probably close to my
age. I think that's about right.
That's what I'm
going
to say.
And Nancy Lopez, that's the over.
We got some good news coming up, but first I want to tell you this episode is powered by Incogni, your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal, Wade. Data brokers scoop up your info, names, addresses, even social security numbers. There are a lot of evil people out there. Don't we know it? They sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing. Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking. Data breaches jumped 72% in 2023. There are entities out there. There are bots out there. There are unscrupulous people that do this for a living, and I am not exaggerating. And it's 24/7. It's happening every day. In 2023, as we told you before, it went up 72%. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their lists, period.
How would you like to guess, Mike, how many spam calls I got since we last spoke on Thursday?
Bagel?
Zero.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love Incogni. It's
four
awesome.
Flexible plans. Their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's INCOGNI.com/TMOS. MOS, everybody.
65 years old.
Yeah. Hey, I nailed it. That's right. Yeah. Very good. Way to go.
And when you say you nailed it, that's a double meaning.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. Have you heard the term clock botching?
I have not.
Josh Soroka, term clock botching?
I've heard of clock repair.
Clock botching, B-O-T-C-H-I-N-G. Right. No. A writer in the UK coined the term last month. It means one of two things or maybe both. I led with this because I saw it and it intrigued me. That's the only reason. Forbes describes it as when you look busy but aren't actually producing meaningful results. Based on certain producers that I've had, Rob's not included in that list, by the way. I have noticed that when people are frantically running around, like they're so urgent, it could be a restaurant, it could be anywhere, sometimes nothing's really getting done.
And then they go to Erie, Pennsylvania and become a program director.
Yeah. And so you're stretching small tasks into entire afternoons.
This is reminiscent of George on Seinfeld when he got the job with the Yankees and he really didn't do anything. But his secret was to always look annoyed.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if like I look annoyed, they'll think I'm busy.
So it sounds like it might be intentional, like you're just trying to run out the clock each day and not getting much done. So then you don't get assigned more work. But we've already got terms for that, like task masking and productivity.
That's a good one.
I love productivity.
That's great.
The original definition is different. The writer who coined clock botching said, it's when workers end up doing more hours than they're paid for. Not out of ambition, but because they can't get through their workload in time. She also says clock botchers are usually the first one in the office and the last one to leave, so that makes it sound not intentional. There's too much on their plate or they're not very organized. I'm not sure that's a good thing at all.
I think that author was clock botching.
A writer for Inc.com confused things even more by saying, It's an aggressive form of clock watching where you're counting the minutes. Well, now there are three definitions of this. What the hell is it?
Yeah, it's not good.
Maybe it's all of the above, but whatever it means, they all agree it's a serious problem. What?
I don't get it. It sounds like someone who's in over their head.
Yeah.
So they maybe. Can't handle their task.
A serious problem in 2025 caused by burnout and people feeling less engaged overall.
And also, keep in mind, this is the British people invented this word, so I don't necessarily need it or trust it.
Rob doesn't like the different at
all. Well, Mike, 1812, burned down the White House. What, nothing, not even an apology?
Uber has started testing a new form of payment, cash. They've been introducing it in select cities over the past few weeks, and it just hit some bigger markets, L.A., San Diego, Dallas, and Orlando. Uber says the idea is to expand transportation access to everyone, and not everyone has a bank account or a credit card, so this is going to help the riders who prefer cash.
But they have a smartphone?
Yeah, you still need a cell phone or a way to book through the app. Basically, you book a ride as usual, and you select the cash option for payment. Then you hand over the bills and coins. Well, yeah, we know how.
Well, you're naked without cash, Mike.
I am indeed. I keep cash every day for golf bets.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I have it. It's also, otherwise, everything else in my life I pay with a card. Everything.
Couldn't you get the people at your club to use Venmo?
I wish it was, I wish we would sit down after the bets and everybody would swipe.
Yes.
Or wipe. I really wish they'd wipe.
Well, it depends on the foursome.
It's also optional for drivers. They have a setting on their end that can be set to accept cash or not, although some drivers say the feature was abruptly added to their accounts without warning and accepts cash was the default option. Ooh, I get it. I'd be upset if I was a driver.
You don't need a smartphone to order. What I do is I walk to the Uber office here in Leesburg, and I just go in and I ask to send a car, and they come get me there.
Brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
And this isn't a real thing. This isn't going to help their business.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one's going to order through Uber and be like, but I can't use a card.
It's optional.
iPhone.
It's optional. They said it's not a huge deal, but some drivers are upset. The main one is they're worried that it might create a safety concern. Valid.
Yeah, that's true.
Now they could be targeted if thieves think they're carrying cash. There are also issues with handling cash, like customers expecting change, awkwardness with tips, getting... The best thing about Uber is tipping. I mean, there's no awkwardness with that, and you get out of the
car. The Uber driver's getting called to a location without a guarantee.
Yeah, 100% that he's going to get a tip.
They should put one of those...
No, that he's going to even get paid or have a rider there.
Yeah,
if I order one for cash, why do I have to stand around and wait?
Uber may even be expecting some of these issues because they're not allowing cash payments after 11 p.m. Well, I mean,
should put one of those lying stickers on the car that says driver has less than $20. And that's a lie.
New York, baby.
Yeah, I thought after 11 p.m. is when most people have cash.
And Ubers.
Would you like a nice little subject change here? This one I didn't expect. Didn't see this one coming. Charlie Sheen has had sex with men.
Look out.
There it is. And yes, that's men plural. He admits it in both his memoir, The Book of Sheen, which comes out tomorrow. Pretty good little nugget. Pretty good, so to speak. Pretty good little nugget for the book. Don't know. It's also in the Netflix documentary, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen, which drops Wednesday. He says, quote, I flipped the menu over. He adds that it's liberating to finally talk about it. It all started when he was smoking crack.
Yeah, that's when it oftentimes starts.
He doesn't exactly regret it. He told Good Morning America that when he was clean, he would try to analyze it and figure out why it happened. But he doesn't sweat it anymore. He says, quote, so what? Some of it was weird. A lot of it was effing fun. Wow. I was having fun. I have tiger blood.
I wonder.
He doesn't remember.
I wonder who he slept with.
I'm over here now. Hey, guys, you want to have sex with Charlie Sheen, guys?
I got an advanced copy of Sheen's book, and what he used to do is invite a couple men that he enjoyed over to his house. And after he ate his eggs, he'd put his plate right on his lap. And he'd
you really think
over.
That what I did with my dogs is some sort of sorted.
I don't.
You know, it's really not.
No.
There's
the
still
lap on the plate's odd. That's an odd presentation.
Yeah. It is. I just did it once, and I paid the price. I got a sliced foot with their little nasty, untrimmed claws.
So did Charlie Sheen.
I woke up in the morning and I had a man standing over me drinking a cranberry juice and I had a sliced open foot. And he was carrying some sort of shiv, some sort of knife. And I said, I looked at him and I said, how was it for you? I said, it was good. And he said, it was good. I said, winning.
Got to be winning John Cryer. Got to be John Cryer.
By the way,
Cryer.
I'm going to devour that documentary. Who doesn't want to watch? A life, right? What
it's
a horrible
Charlie Sheen week.
It's Charlie Sheen week in the world. You get the book. You get if you can't get enough of Charlie Sheen, he's been on the down low for so long. I can't wait to look at it. I'll be looking at that doc.
I bet you give if it's a 2-hour doc, I bet you bail at 40 minutes because I
think
it's probably going to be just overblown and everything. And he's a disgusting person.
You know that there was a time. Well, that's your opinion. Okay.
What's your opinion? He's a great guy.
That opinion is that, I could have traveled easily years ago down the Charlie Sheen
road. Yeah, but you fixed yourself.
I did. Thank you. Hey, this is still a thing, and I don't think they're promoting a movie. Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson, that's the relationship America wants right now. Mm. So it was devastating when tabloid reports claimed it was all a silly PR stunt to promote The Naked Gun.
Which
what
is
do
now
you
streaming starting this week.
So it is still
of
promoting.
Course it
it's
is.
It's still promotion. Yes.
God, yeah. I feel like, I just report this stuff. It's the stuff that comes across my desk every morning. That's all. I'm not trying to be a rube, but I'm part of the whole system. I'm a rube.
It's streaming for top dollar. If you want to spend $25 to not laugh, go to your television and click buy.
Well, apparently their love affair is real after all. Okay. I'm not buying any of this crap.
That's
none whatsoever.
Back up for streaming.
Oh, God. As at a film festival in France over the weekend, Pamela said, quote,
okay.
I do not and will never feed into PR stunts.
Ha!
That would be a death sentence. She said, I'm authentically driven. I'm a superstitious person when it comes to love, and I'm not comfortable sharing any shred of my romantic life. Well, I could, if that happened to me, if I was Pam Anderson and I was on that boat and you saw, Tommy doing that to me, I wouldn't want to share anything either, I suppose. I get it.
She revealed, Mike, she also revealed that she's had sex with men.
She and Liam have never confirmed that they're dating, so this isn't exactly proof that they are, but there is still hope. What do you think? Do you think that there's any truth to that whatsoever?
I don't think there's any truth to the fact that they have any interest in it except for selling a movie.
I think this is what I've always thought about Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you've got people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe early 40s, that are at the prime of their lives sexually, mm-hmm. and they are involved with other pretty people in their 20s, 30s, early 40s, in the prime of their life, I think there is a lot of hanky-panky that goes on in movie-making and filmmaking.
Pam north of 50?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that there's probably a... When you're playing a romantic interest...
Okay, I see.
...of somebody in a film, and I think it's obvious, even at his advanced age, Liam Neeson probably has got a lot of testosterone, I would think, wouldn't
sure.
you?
Sure, pills.
Yeah. Well, the medication's out there.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a prescription to pick up today, as a matter of fact.
I understand he has a specific set of skills.
Pam is 58 years old.
Yes. 58.
Liam, 73.
Both in their sexual prime.
Julie Inkster, 65. Could still be on the... There isn't a LPGA senior tour, right?
Yes. She's there still is? In the LPGA senior
tour. Oh, it's the senior tour.
I wonder when they hit your neighborhood.
For that. What?
I wonder when they hit your neighborhood, Mike.
Like to see that itinerary.
Yeah, well, buy some Banaka and hit the course.
Here's a guy everybody loves, and I miss him still, John Candy. The documentary is called John Candy, I Like Me. This is a great story about John Candy.
I thought you were going to say, I like men. Thought it was the same as Charlie Sheen.
Yes, he said that. No. It premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival over the weekend. He's a Canadian, John Candy. It hits prime on October 10th. And in it, Macaulay Culkin remembers John's kindness on the set of Uncle Buck. He also remembers that John was one of the first people to realize that Macaulay's dad was a creep. Macaulay said, quote, I think he always had that really great instinct. I think he saw, listen, even before the wave crested and the Home Alone stuff was happening, it was not hard to see how difficult my father was. It was no secret. He was already a monster. I think John was looking a little side-eyed, like, is everything all right over there? Mm-hmm. You doing good? Good day? Everything's all right? Everything good at home? All right? He adds, quote, I wish I got more of that in my life. It's important that I remember that. I remember John caring when not a lot of people did. That's a sweet story. And I've heard, haven't you heard amazing things about John Candy and his kindness? That's what I've heard.
Have you seen the trailer?
No, no.
I watched it, and I can play it if you like. But
okay.
It made me uncomfortable to watch it because he is such a sweet guy. And they talk
Do you have it handy?
I'm actually grabbing it right
okay.
now.
Because I'd like to see it. It made you uncomfortable. I'm curious about that.
Because I see a lot of traits, and I'm not trying to compare myself with him as a comedic legend. But I see a lot of traits that they are spotlighting in that are similar to me. And I've been a John Candy fan my entire life. As a matter of fact, the first time you and I ever met, Mike, was on a telethon, and you introduced me as John Candy.
Okay.
But
right. I was probably the first person to like use that regularly with you, right?
Yeah. So this is I think it's on Prime.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what was right about John Candy or what was wrong. But he was my friend, and I don't want to cry, but when I see him, when you see his face, I mean...
It's Bill Murray. It's a lion.
Who are you?
I'm a Mog. Half man, half dog.
Gus Polinski, Polka King of the Midwest.
Del Griffith, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division.
This is a lovable guy. This is a guy who, the minute you see his face...
Dave Thomas.
You're going to smile.
He was amazingly
Gene
funny.
Levy.
Thank you!
He was one of the top performers out of all of them.
Guess my secret to acting would be I pretend real hard.
Even though John did distinctly different characters, John was always there.
He was so gentlemanly and so Canadian.
Nobody had bigger expectations for himself than John.
And then all of a sudden, it kind of jumped to a different level.
I'd made winning my whole life. And when you make winning your whole life, you have to keep on winning.
You've been in more turkeys than a stuffing mix.
I think the weight of everything he was doing was just too much.
A hazard of this business is that it's very unhealthy for people pleasers.
You can't really do favors for people.
It's a bottomless cup of coffee. If you go a whole lifetime eating your feelings, drinking your feelings, smoking your nerves, it shows up.
You know, there's some things that are just painful. That's it. And you can't make them not painful.
Hollywood still reacting to the shocking news.
John Candy is dead at the age of 43.
But it's the face you put on the world that defines who you are.
He lived his life very much like the movies. He was the child that made everyone happy. And he was the adult that did that.
You know, I remember John caring when not a lot of people did.
Every time you go.
I just think it's going to be murder to watch that.
Wow.
I love him so bad.
I see the parallels to where difficult business for a people pleaser. That makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
And that's October
drinking,
10th, I think it comes
eating.
Out.
I never was much of a smoker, but, you know, mm-hmm. 2 out of 3.
But yeah. Colin Hanks is the director.
Yeah.
Isn't that the crazy Hanks?
No.
That's the good Hanks.
This is the good Hanks. The one that looks like Tom, even.
And the one that's the actor, and we've seen it a lot. What was he? Okay. He's in, oh my God,
Orange County?
What the hell was it? He plays an evil sheriff in a movie that I watched.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Did you watch Nobody over the weekend?
Nobody, yes,
he's
Nobody.
I haven't watched it yet.
He's in Nobody. He's in the Nobody 2. That's the sequel, which, oh, by the way, Josh, you haven't watched it yet?
Nope. Probably too.
You know what? I got halfway through it.
And did you get $10 back?
I adored the first one.
Yeah.
Adored it. Absolutely adored it. But that's for another day. I wouldn't mind you checking it out, though, because I want to see if you feel the same way. Finally today, two women from Connecticut, 38-year-old Dominique Marion and 24-year-old Tinaja Williams, were accused of stealing more than $2,000 worth of clothes from a TJ Maxx in Massachusetts just a few weeks back.
The police
didn't have trouble tracking them down. They were spotted just a few minutes later at a Wendy's drive-thru across the street.
Nice. Nice.
The local police department said the officer who found them was no stranger to the Wendy's drive-thru, and when they were caught, the women traded their combo meals for a pair of handcuffs. The stolen clothes were in the car, and the cops also uncovered a large amount of additional items believed to have been stolen from other area stores. Both women were charged with larceny and conspiracy. They were a perfect choice to enjoy the new Wendy's Meal of Misfortune, featuring the Rest in 10-piece nugs with two dips of dread, a small cursed and crispy fry, and a small Raven's Blood Frosty. There you go. Yes, I went right to the menu at Wendy's for their Halloween product. There
now,
we go.
Would $2,000 worth of clothes from TJ Maxx, that's pretty much the whole store, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, tough finding the right size. We'll take a break. We've got a lot more coming up. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. But first, I do want to share with you a fine sponsor of our show. And one of our spokesmodels is, their spokesmodels is actually on the show with us. I'm talking about Josh Soroka. This podcast is brought to you by the wonderful people at Fair Harbor. Fall is in the air, people. Which means your days of tossing on a tee and shorts are done. Rob was talking about the crispiness of the fall weather this morning.
Sub 50 degrees, yeah.
Sub 50 degrees, spectacular. Don't panic. Fair Harbor makes the transition from summer to fall painless. Why juggle one pair of pants for work, another for weekends, and a third for dinner? When one perfect pair does it all. Enter the Horizon Pant.
Woo!
Tailored enough for the office, soft enough for the couch, stretchy enough for whatever questionable decisions you make on Saturday night.
Look out.
Honestly, once you put them on, you may never take them off. And this isn't just about looking good. It's about doing good. Fair Harbor has already turned over 37 million plastic bottles into buttery soft essentials. So you're saving the planet and your wardrobe. I promise you, this is how much it means to me.
Bob.
I promise you, you will love them. Head to fairharborclothing.com/TMOS20. It's a different code, remember that. And use the code TMOS20 for 20% off your order. That's why it's the TMOS20, because you get 20% off. That's Fair Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, people who don't know how to spell Harbor, clothing.com. fairharborclothing.com/TMOS. We don't need to say backslash. You can say /TMOS20 for 20% off. And make sure you use the promo code TMOS20 so they know Josh Soroka sent you personally to get yourself some pants you actually can brag about.
And you should look at Josh's video because he looks just like Denzel Washington in it.
And Rob, yes. When you write copy, that's a forward slash, not a backslash.
I did not say backslash. They did.
Oh, okay.
And when they specify it, I tend to go with it. So you're right.
So do you think it is a backslash?
I think it's just a slash. Forward. Yeah, it would have to be. I don't know why people say backslash. It seems wrong. I don't even know where the backslash is on my keyboard.
It's next to the forward slash.
Is it next to it?
I don't know. I got one right in front of me. Let me see. Backslash here. Nope, it's not. Not on my keyboard.
Do you have a standard QWERTY keyboard, Mike?
A what?
A QWERTY keyboard with K-W-E-R-T-Y on the top shelf.
I'm looking at both of them right here.
Backslash is below delete on the Mac keyboard.
Oh, I do see it.
But we don't use that. We use forward slash.
We use forward slash.
On websites. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Forward slash. On where's backslash?
And that's next to shift.
Mm. Oh, there it is. Josh found it. Yeah, it's right underneath.
I found out.
Delete.
Did you know that on a German typewriter, the top level goes QWERTZ? Not QWERTY?
Yeah, and Quartz. They don't use the backslash. It's a swastika.
Yeah, control N.
too soon?
No,
anyway.
Not right.
All right, so you mentioned Denzel. I'll give you a real fresh review. I like to give reviews when the movie first comes out online. So checked it out last night. I have many actors I really enjoy, but the one working actor that is still churning out the quality product is my man Denzel. We had a story last week about it's Denzel, not Denzel.
Right.
And so Denzel Washington in a brand new movie, a Spike Lee joint.
Oh, I saw the ad for this, yeah.
Called Highest to Lowest. And solid performer, in my humble opinion. Absolutely.
Have you
solid.
Ever been disappointed in a Denzel movie?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Gladiator 2 was the most recent one.
Oh,
I hated it. He was a small part of it, but I hated it. What were you going to say, Josh?
In this movie, he is such a good actor that it makes the other people seem bad actors.
Yeah, I agree. Like
they're not given the right performance.
He plays a mogul, a music mogul, a Berry Gordy style character, and he does such a nice job with it, and they put all his skills in there. And Spike Lee, who is Mr. New York, and just Spike Lee, who could not get, and I'm a Red Sox fan, and I loved it. He could not get enough Yankee into this movie. It was his Yankee passion that Spike Lee, it was hysterical to watch it. But the story, you know, for a story that really could have easily slid into lack of credibility, I think they did a really solid job. And Josh, I thought that the movie was hard. It was hard for me to really figure out what was coming next, because I had absolutely no idea what direction it was going to go into at the very end. It was great.
Yeah, every time I thought something was going to happen, I was wrong.
Is it a music-driven plot? A music, and how is the music in the movie?
The music in the movie is really, really good. Very good. And I think at the end, it's spectacular. Go ahead.
And it does. It feels also like a love letter to New York.
It's a love letter to New York, and then kind of a love letter to old school style music too, which is good for people my age.
I
enjoyed it. It really was fun, and you know, the acting is good. And I don't know the name of the actress that plays Denzel's wife, but she's absolutely ravishing in this movie, and she's so credible playing the Grand Dame. The late Ann Mira.
The late Ann Mira. I thought this was her last project.
The deceased Ann Mira that is in it. It's great. It's fun. It's a solid movie. You're not going to necessarily agree with me that it's great, but I loved it because I love Denzel. I love him. I absolutely love him. There was Equalizer 8. I'd watch it.
So no, I agree. Denzel's the best part of the movie, but like Kelly did not like the movie.
She didn't like it.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know. So I mean,
you're going to get mixed.
What is Kelly's favorite movie? Give it a try.
A rom com.
It'd be a rom com. It'd be like a Fried Green Tomatoes or some type of rom com.
Does she love The Exorcist?
No horror, no violence.
What didn't she? Did she articulate what she didn't like about it? Because Carla didn't like it either.
She thought it was slow. She thought it wasn't a great storyline. She thought the acting was bad. And I think it was, I don't know, I think it was more that it was that Spike Lee style.
Joint.
The musical, The
musical I found myself, did you,
and stuff.
As a dad, did you find yourself on the edge of your seat for the whole thing? I did. I was really tense. You weren't?
No, but I found myself just relaxed and enjoying the ride, enjoying it.
It's a pretty good movie.
So
I think
you're
it was
saying
really good.
Better than The Paper on Peacock?
What's the paper?
I haven't checked that out yet.
It is the
Office spinoff.
The spinoff of The Office. And
who stars in that? Just out of curiosity.
There's the only person you would know is the guy who played Oscar from the Office. And the lady who ruins the show is from The White Lotus. She was the manager of the hotel, I think season three. No, season two. And she overacts her Spanishness too much. And
can
the whole
I say
thing
this?
Is uncomfortable.
Is it really relevant to do a television show in this day and age of the digital era about a newspaper?
Well, they address that in an unfunny way.
Well, and that was the spin of The Office, too, that it was a paper company while we were moving away from paper as a society.
Okay, so it's a similar
theme. So it's their same
thing.
They were pushing it hard during Sunday Night Football.
Really hard, and it's really hard to watch. We've got through two episodes, two 22-minute episodes, and I'm about to bail on the whole thing because if you can't give me one character that I like, look forward to seeing, I'm not in. There's no reason to follow it.
How's Oscar?
He's used badly. It's a stupid gimmick casting is what it is. You know, they don't need him.
So the third one that we should talk about, and Josh, if you're planning on taking a peek at, it's Nobody 2. And I really look forward to hearing your, because I loved the first one.
I did too.
Loved it. And I'll just give you one line. You see if you agree with it. I think they turned it into an effing cartoon. And it
was
just
sad,
so
because
disappointing.
There was, the fighting was so real feeling in the first one.
Nah, I left that behind. Sequels suck.
Yeah, they do.
That's just
not
the
Godfather 2.
Speaking of TV, we got a few things coming up. Binging is Good for You and The Golden Bachelor. And but before we do that, we're going to talk about your Baltimore Orioles, who are very sad about Josh and his bitterness this season and the way they're treating their fans. They reach out to our own Josh Sorokin. You know, he's a tough nut to crack, Rob Spiewak.
I've said it for years. Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, 1 year.
But if you got a problem, he'll deal with it like he did this weekend for us. Way to go, Josh.
Check out the beat while the DJ revolves it.
Absolutely. But first, I do want to tell you about Relief Band. I love doing things on the water with my kid, taking him out charter fishing or getting out on a boat. I love being on the water. I was raised on the water. As I've gotten older, I've had more problems with it. I think that's not uncommon where you get a little motion sickness. Nausea, meet your arch enemy. Rob's holding it up right now. It's called Relief Band. It's the original anti-nausea wristband. It's clinically proven. It's drug-free and doctor-recommended. It stops nausea from motion sickness, migraines, anxiety, hangovers, morning sickness, chemo, and more. Just strap it on, adjust the intensity, and feel the relief kick in fast with zero side effects. The new Premier Plus Relief Band model goes even further. That's the one Rob was holding up. Yep. With smart skin sensing technology. It's got a built-in digital clock and next level nausea control. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. It's true. Trust me, it works. I have it. I've used it. I love it. Relief Band isn't magic. It's science. It was hospital developed, doctor backed, life-changing. It's amazing. It really is. You know, when you have motion sickness, there's so many things that you don't want to do because you get freaked out by
it. Exactly.
The Relief Band, without having to take any drugs, put any kind of stickers on your body, any patch or any of that, you can use the Relief Band and it works. If you want to cure your nausea problem fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea-free with Relief Band. Right now, there's an exclusive offer just for Mike O'Mara Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code TMOS, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping. Head to reliefband.com and use our promo code TMOS for 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you very much, Relief Band. We appreciate it. Okay, so earlier, maybe last week, maybe the week before, Josh is bitching about the Orioles and the fact that they're not playing all that well. And then the fans.
Last week I announced that I'm giving up my season tickets.
You're giving up your season tickets
after years and years.
Yes. You'd had it not necessarily with the play, but the fact that they were, you know, they weren't really giving the fans much of anything, right?
Yeah. Well, and they weren't. It was just disrespect on how they were blowing off their fans that had been there for decades. So,
and how were they blowing off their fans?
Moving us to different seats, making us buy more tickets, increasing the price of the tickets, moving our seats so that people with bigger plans could pay more for our old seats.
So all in all, with a really bad product on the field, they're moving full speed ahead with ripping the fans off a little bit more, and that's just not acceptable when you got a crappy team.
So I made a video like I've been doing on TikTok. And this time I also put it over on Twitter, where I have over the years built a huge Orioles following over there.
Okay. How often do you post to Twitter?
It's where I go to complain live during games.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yep. It's perfect for that post 2 seconds. I can't believe this is happening again.
All right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I've built up where I've got thousands of followers over there that are all Orioles focus. So I put a little video on there, and I think I put it on Friday morning. Maybe it was Thursday evening. I put it on Thursday evening. My phone, I had to turn off all notifications on my phone because it would not stop buzzing.
Oh, because of people commenting.
It resonated with everyone. Where I got hundreds of comments and reposts. The video ended up getting 40,000 plays on Twitter, plus another 38 or something on TikTok, blowing up to the
Tell point. Them to come over here.
Anyone who looks like Denzel Washington will get a big following right away. I'm
absolutely.
Jealous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at 6:30 Saturday morning, I get a phone call, and it's 6:30 on a Saturday, so I didn't answer.
Okay.
So I called the guy back.
A.M.
A.M. Because, you know, that if you want to make things right, you call at 6:30 a.m.
He wanted to catch you in bed,
And the voicemail says, hey, this is Don Rovac from the Baltimore Orioles.
Hello, Josh. This is Don Rovac from
Hello,
the Baltimore.
Hello, Josh. This is Don Rovac. Oh.
No, no accent, because he's not a local guy, and we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
He's calling me. He is the chief officer of revenue at the Baltimore Orioles. And so I call him back. I talk to him on his phone while he's like walking through the city to the stadium. And he's clearly calling because of my Twitter disruption and wants to say he wants to make things right.
Ooh.
So exactly. I hear, okay, well.
That's sweet.
You can, yeah, yeah, you're going to do something. I mean.
Did you get a little excited when you heard that?
The voicemail said, on the voicemail, he said, call me or I'll just find you at the game tonight. So I do go.
But
and
you weren't
like,
going to be at the game, right?
No, I didn't have to be. I wasn't planning to be at the
game. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But the voicemail excited me enough that I Googled flights to see if all I could get up there in time for the game tonight.
Well, you are because, such a fan.
Well, I was also debating all week about this past weekend. I felt like I should have gone up for the games this past weekend because they were celebrating Cal and the 21-31.
Cal.
So I felt like I should be there. So I look it up, and the flights are like $150 or something. It's not a bad. It's like, oh, I could do that round trip. And
they were $99, but the Orioles got in touch with the airlines.
So, there's a little excitement in here.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of excitement because it's like, hey, yeah, I mean, they're the Orioles want to make this right. They're not gonna fix my season tickets, but they're gonna want me to make a video like that. I love the Orioles instead of all this hatred of them that's going viral.
So you're in St. Augustine, just licking your lips, ready for this to happen. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So I called the guy back and talked to him. And he's like, well, I just want to hear what frustrates you and what we could have done better. And I talked to him for a while, and he's like, well, here's what he does that pisses me off more, is he has responses to my frustrations.
Oh,
so,
no.
Oh, so
that's
he's prepared.
Not what
he's,
you
got
want.
Yeah, he's got a script. He's got a script.
Moron,
yeah.
No.
Oh, and it's clearly he wants me to make an apology.
Oh, no.
Because he said, no.
Feel free to talk about me and talk about our conversation and spread the word. And it's like.
But you were dissatisfied with the conversation, right?
Yeah, and that's what irritated me is I like that part makes sense. I know the Orioles wanted to spin it away.
So he is rationalizing and justifying all of the things you were complaining about.
Yeah. So he tells me, I explained to him, look, I said, guys, your attendance is down 22% this year. That's public knowledge. We all know that.
I love
that
you
threw
him back with statistics. That's awesome.
Well, and oh no, he's the chief revenue officer, so I know he knows money.
He knows that.
And
yeah,
that's basically my dad. My dad's been the CFO of companies and everything. I know financial stuff a little bit. So I'm like, look, your attendance is down 22%. The play on the field sucks. And it's not all, that's not why attendance is down, but it's a big part of it. I said, and you're increasing your prices. And he goes, well, we found that it's best that we don't let the field on the play dictate business.
The play on the field.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He said, if we raised prices after the Orioles won the World Series, everyone would be mad at us. And I said, no, they won it. I said, that's how it works.
Yeah.
I said, if you're 100%. The hot team, you can get away with that.
And didn't you propose last week that the problem was they put this in motion when they thought this was going to be a great season?
That was my theory, and I presented that to him, and he kind of said, oh, that's where he said, oh, well, play on the field doesn't mean anything.
I see, okay.
And I told him, I said, but that would be like if I ran a restaurant and the food was really bad, but instead I raised the price of the food and moved all my regulars out to the bad seats.
Logic.
And
pure
I
logic.
Said, that would make my business go out of business.
Right.
And he said, oh, that's not how it works.
Like, okay. So there's nothing other than he wants to argue.
No, exactly. And then he talks to me about how, so I look him up and I see, well, I told him there's a problem where it seems like this office does not understand the city of Baltimore, does not understand this fan base. I said, the business director of business joined the team last July. They've never gone through losing here in Baltimore. I said, you joined it 9 months ago because I looked up his LinkedIn.
Oh, no.
Because he messaged me on LinkedIn as well. So I said, you've been here for 9 months. You don't know anything. And he's like, well, again, he sticks to this. And he's like, well, we had, and then he tries to justify it. Well, we had to move your seats because those other seats are now reserved for the larger ticket packages. because we want to. We had to restructure.
That
is
so. What he's doing? I know. I've had that. This can apply to any business. This can apply to any. He's not doing anything to make it right for you.
Oh, he's gone the opposite.
Opposite way.
He's made it all worse. Where now it's like, I posted on Twitter. I said I just got off the phone with the Orioles. I said, now I understand why they made these decisions, and it makes me even more upset.
There it is.
Yeah, good for you.
Way to go, dude. Nice job.
So I get off the phone with him, and I was like, and again, he tells me, hey, post it, do whatever, share, because he thinks the conversation went great, that I've now been convinced that,
of course.
Well, this is how you run a business. This is what the rules do. No, I go and make a video complaining about this guy, and I break down three reasons the Orioles suck right now in the front office is this guy and his boss being out of town, so they don't know the city, they don't know this fan base.
Right.
I looked this guy up in Atlanta where he came from before. He was the revenue guy for the Atlanta soccer team, and everyone hates him and ran him out because he raised ticket prices.
One trick then pony.
He's really glad he reached out.
Then I let everyone know how he doesn't care about the product on the field and how that affects prices. And then about the movement of the seats, and just so I bashed him more on this video. That I told you the first video had like 40,000 plays. This one's up to 70,000 views.
Oh, good for you. Happy about that. And any word from them?
Yeah, I get a message on LinkedIn from him Saturday morning. That was quite an Orioles game last night.
That's all he says.
That's
crazy.
He's okay.
So I told him. All right. I told him, hey, I see you have a job opening here for a creative marketing director. I said, I think you should hire someone who knows the city for that.
Wow.
I said, because clearly your front office does not.
Oh my God, so out of touch.
Out of touch.
Boy, tell me you should get a job in radio. I think that would be perfect.
Only management.
Only management. Way to make it right, O's. Worked out for you.
I thought the guy was going to bring me up, and I was like, it's big Cal's big night. Maybe I'll get to come down on the warning track or something, pregame ceremony stuff.
Yeah. 100% you were going to get a Cal jersey. They were going to give you Cal's jersey. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Josh, do you think the word narcissist applies to this guy a little bit?
Oh, totally. And by the way, my season ticket rep still have not heard from you since I've left a voicemail and sent emails last week.
There you go. Way to go, birds. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Glad it worked out for him. Boy, reach out again sometime. And then I like this. Feel free to use my name. There you go. Yeah. Good job.
I did.
Good things happen to good people.
Rob, you got some beautiful video coming up for us?
Gorgeous.
Please?
It's simply gorgeous.
Hey, Nits. Do you feel the chill in the air? That means the holidays are coming. Are you ready? Just imagine walking into every holiday party feeling in control, looking great, and already down mass poundage. Sounds nice, no?
Yes.
Yes, no. Well, listen to what I have to say right now. DermGlow Skin has GLP-1/GIP on sale from now through October 3rd. This is your chance to feel confident before the holidays hit. And don't forget, DermGlow Skin ships skincare fast nationwide. And we've got peptides for energy, skin, tightening, focus, and more. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today because feeling good and glowing is the best gift you can give yourself this season. Halloween is right around the corner. That's the first time I've been able to say it. Halloween.
I love it.
Right around the corner. And we want you to look great in your sexy nurse costume, men and women.
Yeah.
Are you ready to change your body and your mindset? Let's go to DermGlowSkin.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Hot kiss, Mike.
Tim Kelly. Kiss FM.
Tomorrow we will go into the Golden Bachelor, but I just want to remind you, Mike, tomorrow we'll be talking about Meloans.
Meloans?
That's the Golden Bachelor. Remember, he got in some hot water.
Great teeth.
He didn't. Yeah. Two more payments. He was the one that said he didn't want to date anyone over the age of 60. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
All right. Now, good. You sure he doesn't work for the Orioles?
He might. They offered him a job. Mike, I know we both love Target. And I like their casual wear is fine. You can't beat the prices. But when they select something, maybe they don't think about it enough. These are some sweatpants, sort of like workout pants. I think they're from Champion. And they have what's called a front pleat. Do you know what a front pleat is? I'd never heard of it.
Pleats are like the little extra fabric in the front of the pants.
Yeah. Well, they're normally on the side, though.
They're in the front.
Well, I mean, but on either side, like by the pockets is what I'm saying. This is dead center, okay?
Oh, like a front thing.
Watch this lady.
Champion at Target, a center pleat.
I actually like the color of the pants. This lady's putting them on.
Are they super thin?
Men's pants or women's pants?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is what you see. Hey.
Oh, that's it.
Do better.
Yeah. Do better. And I think anyone can wear them, but by definition, Josh, those are women's pants.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, wow. Very good. Two notable rock and roll deaths over the weekend.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And this one, I don't know how it will hit you. I like Supertramp.
I love one of my favorite bands. Absolutely and one of my favorites.
Rick Davies was one of the lead singers.
He couldn't believe how old he was, Rob.
81.
81.
But this is my favorite Rick Davies vocal.
Oh, the best. My good favorite voice. Supertramp song.
Great voice.
It was an early morning yesterday.
God, he was 81.
Yeah.
I was up before the dawn.
That's from 1979, but I remember
can't believe
it like
it's that
yesterday.
Long ago. I'm getting so old. Oh, man. I'll be playing that today. Yeah.
I like to get to the big part here.
Great song. Great song.
Like a king without a castle. Like a
1979. Look at the look. They all have that 70s look. Oh, man.
That's sad. That's a sad
one. That's so cool you pulled that, though, because I saw it and I just moved by it. I didn't spotlight it. But I love Supertramp.
Download Breakfast in America. It's a great album.
One of the great albums ever made. Absolutely.
And also, I always just called him the Fat Turtle because he was the turtle. I'm moving on now. I'm sorry. I didn't think that the Davies was a fat turtle. Mm-hmm. The band The Turtles in the 60s had numerous hits. And the Fat Turtle, his name was Mark Volman, and he was probably a little more talented than the rest of the band. He passed away after a sudden illness. He was 78, but he also went on to work in a duo called Flo and Eddie, and together, those were two members of the Turtles, worked on songs like they played instruments on Bang a Gong. They worked on the arrangement for Hungry Heart for Bruce Springsteen, but they will never top what I think is probably in my top 10 jukebox records of all time.
Imagine me in you.
Great
to
song.
Think about the girl you love and hold her tight.
Not a great video.
So
well, it's 1967.
Yeah.
If I should call you up.
So he wrote that, but also did the harmonies in the background. Great voice.
Is he somewhere in that video?
Yeah, he is. He's coming up. There he is, the fat guy with the glasses.
Oh, there he is, with the sideburns?
Yes.
With the lamb chops?
Yeah.
You had lamb chops at one point, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so safe home to two great rock and rollers.
Okay.
Don't like seeing those going away like that. I like when a baseball game happens on something and the caller, the game call, they just can't say anything. They just get stopped in their
tracks. The play-by-play guys?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's in San Francisco.
The game caller.
Mike, just come on. Little mercy.
The game caller.
Yeah. The game caller.
You know who's a great game caller?
Who?
Kenny Albert is a great game caller.
Yeah, he's actually pay by play, isn't he?
Do you like Joe Buck? I like it when he does the game calling.
I've had enough of Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth?
Chris Collinsworth. Yeah.
I should think we ought to rename him Colin Collinsworth, the game caller. You're annoyed at this. You just want to move on, don't you? You're
a
little annoyed. Go ahead.
I've got a nice piece of tape, and you know what?
Yes.
Sometimes I misspeak. We talk a lot.
Yes.
We talk a lot, and I try to bring the sports stuff because I know you're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
And I should
look
have
at
said
how annoyed
play-by-play
he is, Josh. Look at how annoyed he is with us.
It's the sports stuff.
It's the sports stuff, yes.
Anyway, there's an ice cream treat in San Francisco called an It's It Bar, which is essentially vanilla ice cream between oatmeal cookies dipped in chocolate, and they were talking about it at the game.
You can eat.
And they found a guy and his wife who was having one.
I go for one of them too. A little It's It.
What's that? It's It.
What's an It's It?
Yeah.
For the folks at home, I on behalf of Chris Carey, I will apologize.
Oh!
You are a handful, Chris. Let me tell you.
That was a handful.
That's good game calling right there.
Yeah, they're good game callers.
But by the way, you know what? You're eating an ice cream, and Rob and I can certainly relate to this. Get the goddamn camera out of my face. Let me enjoy my ice cream treat.
I agree.
And the same thing goes for the husband, reaching over and copping a feel while I'm trying to have my ice cream treat.
It looked like they knew they were on camera.
Yeah. Can we see that one more time?
Of course. That's I think the husband realized that he was on camera, and that's when he made the grab.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Here we go.
For the folks at home, I on behalf of Chris Carey, I will apologize.
That makes me laugh.
You are a handful, Chris.
That's pretty great.
That is good.
Here's a reason to like Travis Kelce that even I like. Is doing in a press conference, doing an impression of Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
For this all summer long.
This is Mahomes, of course.
Play football again.
And Travis, what was last night like at the airport?
Oh man, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun seeing those fans there. And
you had that one coming for telling everybody I didn't know where Brazil was on the map.
That's awesome.
And not
That's
a bad good. Impression. Two more before we get out of here. Mike, is there anything more painful than stepping on a Lego? You're a father. You've probably been through it.
Done it. Nasty.
A world record was broken over the weekend when a lady from New Zealand ran 100 meters on Legos. This, to me, is horrifying to watch.
Barefoot.
Yes, and dirty feet. That's a long way to be running on Legos.
Do you think the way that they're put out there, that there's a little cushioning that might be involved instead of the real pain comes from a single Lego?
I agree, but
floor.
I also don't think they could arrange 100 meters of them. That's a lot of square footage.
That's
of Lego.
Just the effort alone deserves credit, I think so. But I think your single individual Lego when you step in the middle of a floor, especially if it's a tile floor, is agony. Absolute agony.
But running on anything loose like that is going to make you slip up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That video would have been better if they had a caller on it because we couldn't really follow what was going on. You need a run caller on
that. We had a terrible weekend with stepping on stuff. One of the worst experiences I've ever had in the middle of the living room.
What happened?
A syringe.
Oh, man. I hate that.
Just kidding.
And also, I used to have a dealer that used to step on my stash all the time.
Horrible, man. Step on it. Don't step on it. Don't cut that stuff. Baby laxative.
You listen to I can't tell that story. Okay.
Right.
Close with this. Bad news for NFL fans. The Red Zone, which was like Valhalla for NFL fans, they have added commercials this season. First time ever they've added commercials to the Red Zone. People are unhappy about this. And I found a guy who said what we might have to look forward
to. You're talking about the TV feature.
Yeah, the TV feature where you can watch all the games and all of that stuff and watch four games at once. Not cheap and up to now, commercial free. Until now.
Game-winning field goal for Chicago. Santos.
I have type 2 diabetes.
Oh, no.
No, that wasn't real. This guy's faking it.
It's a fake.
That's not how they interrupt.
The Colts take a last-second touchdown lead against the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. This is what the witching hour is all about.
So look forward to that.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's your beautiful video.
Thanks for all the sports today. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I liked all the sports. And good luck with the do you think there is any slight possibility, Josh Soroka, that they would ever, like someone else, would be hip to what's going on with this guy and reach out to you? Do you think there's any possibility?
I do not believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think there's a chance in the MLB offseason you end up owner of the team?
I didn't win the Powerball.
Damn it. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at michaelmaraShow.com.
I'm over here now.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What the hell's going on here?
Just thought that we're almost finished. Good. Golly, Miss Molly.
Fiddlesticks. I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man. You're a bishop, for God's sakes.
There is no God.
Right.
So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.